Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There have been times when God confronted people and called them to faith and to his service in some very spectacular ways. The voice of the Lord confronted Abram while he was still living in the pagan city of Ur in the modern-day area of Iraq. And God called him to leave his family and his homeland and to become the father of a nation, God's chosen people. God called to Moses out of a burning bush on Mount Sinai and commissioned him to be the deliverer of his people from their slavery in Egypt. God came to Samuel in a voice at night in the temple, calling him to his service as his prophet. God called Isaiah the prophet in a glorious vision in the smoke-filled temple, commissioning him to speak both doom and a message of hope to the people of Judah. God stopped Paul in his tracks, shining blazing light upon him, revealing himself as Jesus, the Savior, turning Paul from a persecutor of Christians to one of the greatest apostles and messengers of the gospel of Jesus, specifically to the Gentile people. Those men we could rightly term as heroes of faith, heroes in God's saving plan. And perhaps we might think that if we were similarly called in a spectacular way like that, we might also be heroes of faith in God's saving plan as well. If God had confronted us, come to us in a similar way that he did them, we would not be dim, flickering lights in God's kingdom as we might feel that we are now, but rather we would be bright, burning, shining lights in the kingdom of God's grace, just like those heroes of faith of old. But our call to God's kingdom and his service often seems to us to be so common and so ordinary. The simple water of baptism, God's plain, simple word, that still, small voice of the Spirit, that was our call, with nothing that appeared to be very spectacular about it. Well, it's small wonder then that it's sometimes hard for us to get excited about this faith of ours. We often feel that we're just average, ordinary Christians, that we haven't really been called to do anything great or spectacular in God's kingdom as those heroes of faith of old were. Indeed, our call to faith and to service is not as dramatic as those calls that we see in God's word to Moses or to Samuel or to Saul. But that lack of the dramatic does not imply lack of miraculous. It is a miracle of God, a wondrous act of God's grace that we have been chosen at all, that we have been saved, and that we have been called to be followers of Jesus. That same God who broke into the darkness of that first day of creation with his almighty word speaking, "Let there be light," and there was light, he has also called into the darkness of our hearts with the light of the saving gospel of Jesus. This is a miracle of God's grace. We who once were dead in our transgressions and sins, we have now been made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit working through God's word, working through that gospel message of forgiveness through Jesus, working through the waters of our baptism. It is a miracle that we are called God's children, that God calls us to be heirs of his kingdom. That is a marvel of his mercy. It is no less mercy and no less grace than that which embraced Abraham or Isaiah. This is the point that Jesus makes in our reading for today. This is the point that Jesus wants to speak to our hearts with those words. You are the light of the world. Well, we can imagine that if there was ever an audience that had been more surprised and speechless, it must have been that audience when Jesus first spoke those words, you are the light of the world. Who did he speak those words to? To simple fishermen from Galilee, which was a backwater province of the Jewish territory, the nation of Israel. And also including what we might call an IRS agent, a tax collector. Simple people. Following a carpenter from Nazareth, of all places. Nazareth, which was the backwater of the backwater provinces. What light could those simple people possibly add to a world that was ruled by the glorious Caesar, the king, the emperor of the grand Roman Empire? What light could those simple people possibly bring to a world that was full of the wisdom of the famous Greek philosophers, or to a nation that had those proud and righteous-looking Pharisees and Sadducees as its religious leaders? If Jesus wanted people to be his disciples who appeared to be the light of the world, certainly he would have chosen people like those. So why didn't he select a high priest, or perhaps the governor of Judea, or a centurion in the Roman army, or perhaps a philosopher from Athens? If these disciples of Jesus possessed any light whatsoever, as the world measures light, it could only be a glimmer of a flicker of light in the dark of the night. The light of the world? Surely not those simple people. Now are the words spoken to his first disciples, ones who sat with him that day upon the mount. And these words also have application for us as well, because we are now Jesus' disciples. Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world. This might seem just as impossible to us as it perhaps did to those first hearers of Jesus' day. We know that these are not dark ages in which we live today. We have so much wealth of knowledge and understanding that the human race possesses today. The technology that we possess could destroy the world with just a couple clicks of buttons. The wisest of the people among us are able to perform amazing feats of construction and engineering and medical surgery. What light could simple, average people, Christians like you and me, add to that seemingly amazing, glorious light and wisdom of the world around us? But Jesus spoke those words, and Jesus meant them. You are the light of the world. This is God's summary of the life of the cross of the Christian. Whatever light the world may claim for itself, it is only a light that makes the darkness of the world more visible. We see so clearly as Christians through the light of God's word, the darkness of sin that is in the world around us and that is in our own hearts. But God has called us to be lights in this dark world. To be a follower of Jesus is to be a light bringer to the earth's darkest places, because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And when he calls us to follow him, he also calls us to reflect his light to the world. He says, he who follows me shall never walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are the light of the world. Whether you are a teacher, an accountant, a corporate executive, a student, a homemaker, whatever your role in life might be, you who love the Lord and who follow him, you are the light of the world. But how did that come about? How did we get that way? Well, the answer to that question is simple, and we also need to speak that answer loudly. It is only by a miracle of God's grace. We were the people who, the prophet Isaiah said, once were sitting in darkness, but now we have seen a great light. It was the grace of God that pulled away the black clouds of our sin-darkened hearts and shined the light of God's love and forgiveness through Jesus into our hearts. Jesus, who is the day star, the bringer of the light of God's love, by his death on the cross, he has forgiven all of our sins. Even though each one of us was born into this world as a child with a sinful nature completely shrouded in darkness, Jesus washed us, washed away all of our sins through baptism, and brought us into the light of his love. We certainly cannot claim that by our own works or by our own power we have any light from him. It is only the light of his grace and his love. We need to proclaim this loudly and clearly so that the world knows that salvation comes only by God's grace, only by the cross of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that he brings, not by anything that anyone can do on their own. So what are we to do as Christians? What actions then should follow as we hear and cherish this message of God's love and forgiveness in our lives? What can we do in our own communities? Should we form some new organization? Do we need some new plan or program to bring the message of this love out to the people around us? Well, the answer is simple. In whatever capacity God has called you to in life, whatever role you play, whatever job you fill, in whatever sphere of influence you have in your life, by your actions, as you seek to give glory to God in everything that you do, you shine the light of God's love in your life and to those around you. And especially by your words. God calls you to be a witness for him, not only in your actions, but also by speaking his truth to the people around you. By first calling them to realize that they have sinned against God. They have broken his law, and that because of their sins, just as each one of us, our sins have saddened God's heart of love, and our sins have separated us from God. But also to speak to them that wonderful message of God's great comfort, that through Jesus, that barrier of sin has been broken down, the darkness of sin is driven away, that through Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that he has won, we are reconciled to God. And we no longer live in the darkness of sin or the fear of punishment from God, but we live in the light of his love and his grace. Dear brothers and sisters, be that light that God has called you to in Christ. Shine the light of his love all around you, in all of your actions, and especially in your words, as you bring that message of God's love and his comfort and that blessed hope that we have of eternal life with him in glorious light, which the book of Revelation pictures. There will be no more sun, because God himself will be our light. There will be no darkness. There will be no night, no fear, no suffering or sadness, because we will enjoy the eternal, perfect peace and bliss and joy of the light of his love forever in all eternity. Brothers and sisters, be beacons of that light of God's love in your lives.